Right now, Weeds. If you haven't seen it, it's a TV show about a suburban soccer mom who becomes a marijuana dealer in order to keep up appearances and maintain her family's upper-middle-class lifestyle after her husband dies. It's a comedy, mostly, a satire of modern suburbia, a subversive take on motherhood, and the story of an American family. Here's a short clip from one scene where the mom, played by Mary Louise Parker, gathers her distracted brother-in-law, pulls out the earbuds from her younger son's iPod, and hustles her older son to the table for dinner.
Your ass in this chair before I kick it from here to Tuesday. Andy, set the table. Game over. Wash your hands. So help me God, I've had it. We're going to be a family if I have to kill all of you.
Weeds began its third season on Showtime last week, and today we're joined by Jenji Kohan, the creator and executive producer of Weeds. She's at the studios of Marketplace Productions in Los Angeles. And welcome to Talk of the Nation today.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
If you have questions for the creator of Weeds about the show or about writing for television, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And Jenji Kohan, I guess people would immediately see the gimmick and think this is a story about marijuana and about dealing drugs, and to some degree it is. But as that short scene kind of illustrated, the heart of the show is really it's a family show.
It's a family show, and it's also an outlaw show. I really wanted to create a show, my own version of an outlaw show. I'd been watching things like The Shield and The Sopranos, and I wanted to do my version of that. So that was sort of the impetus.
A version set in a very, well, I guess not that different a neighborhood from Tony Soprano's, really.
Not really. But yes, at the heart, at the core is a family, a deeply flawed family, as I think most families are.
And I was fascinated to read you. You, of course, are married and have kids. Do you let them watch the show?
Absolutely. My kids are very young. And actually, my daughter was in the first episode of the season. She played 5-year-old who peed her pants. We could show her dailies, but not much beyond that because it's highly inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. The character played the mom, played by Mary Louise Parker, who eventually has to tell her kids what it is she's doing. Are you eventually going to have to tell your kids what you do?
Oh, they're pretty aware of what I do. They come to the office and there's a lot of fake marijuana plants as sort of decoration. And my older son was at summer camp and I came to pick him up and he told me in front of his counselor how they'd gone on a hike through the woods and he saw wild marijuana. And the counselor kind of looked at me sideways and said, why does your 7-year-old know what marijuana looks like?
Yeah. When you came up with the idea for this show, a suburban mom who sells drugs to support her family. Was this a tough sell for Showtime?
No, it wasn't. It was surprisingly easy. At the time, I think Showtime had a mandate. They really wanted to make some noise. And I came in with a one-line suburban widowed pot-dealing mom. And that was a noisy pitch, and they picked up on it right away.
It is also about life in suburbia, not quite a gated community, but a closed community, a development.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah. It's... Oh, go on.
I was just going to say, a lot of it's about the politics of living in this this little isolated place.
Sure. I mean, I think this is the way more and more people are living in these sort of exurbs. It's where everything's pretty and the schools are good and your kids can bike ride. But these communities spring up overnight. They're kind of just add water places. And there's no center and there's no history. And it's people coming from all over to sort of reinvent themselves or create this bucolic life that they've envisioned. And there are no guideposts. So you have to work really hard to make your life interesting.
And they do. In this year's series, there's another even newer community that springs up next to your town, Argestic.
Of Agrestic, yeah.
Yeah, Agrestic, excuse me.
Right over the hill is Majestic. I think over the hill there's always something newer and shinier and brighter that we're supposed to want and find dissatisfaction in our current way of living.
A different kind of community, too, a more Christian-based community.
Yes, it's a church-based community. It's built around one of these evangelical mega churches. And it's the church is a selling tool. It's Christianity as commerce. You find a group of people who believe there are numbers there, there's dollars there. You know, let's put up a community around it.
We want listeners to get involved in this conversation. If you'd like to join our conversation with Jenji Kohan, the creator and executive producer of the Showtime series Weeds, our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. And why don't we get Chris on the line? And Chris is with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
My question is for Jenji. I recently discovered your show through my roommate who was watching the second season, and I absolutely loved it. I really liked the comedy seemed, realistic and dark and good. And then I, backtracked and started watching season one, and I saw a pretty marked difference between the two seasons. In my own view, it seems like season one was maybe a little more character-focused and season two a little more, comedy-driven. What are your thoughts on that? And I'll take my answer off here.
Okay, Chris, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, when we set out to do this show, we really wanted each season to be its own thing. We didn't want to find a good template for a show and then write the same show over and over again. So every season is markedly different. And what we like to do is look at the finale of the previous season as sort of a pilot for the upcoming season. And the tone should feel different. It's a new adventure. It's a new year. And we want to keep it fresh for ourselves in the writer's room. So we reinvent the show to a certain extent every season.
And some people have said this third season is much darker than the previous two.
Yeah, it's definitely dark. I mean, we finished the previous season on a very sort of Tarantino suspenseful note. And the stakes are higher this season and the tension is higher.
And to some degree, I guess the question has to be raised. Your lead character sells marijuana. Is she meant to be sympathetic? And would she be as sympathetic if she was selling meth?
No, I definitely think that marijuana was the perfect vehicle for this show. While it's a Schedule I narcotic, I don't think it's perceived as such. I think it's the funny drug. I think it's a substance that you find in every family across every economic, social, political, gender line. You know, there's a pot smoker in every family. There's a certain familiarity with it. It's not linked to crime and addiction, although that's debatable. And it's a really good tool for us because it's illegal, but it's illegal light.
Let's get Steve on the line. And Steve's with us from Flint, Michigan.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. First of all, I would like to congratulate you on the show. It's awesome. I've been watching it since the first season, and in my opinion, it's right up there with Curb and the other shows on the premium channels, The Wire and Sopranos. So I think you've well accomplished your goal of wanting to have a show of that caliber.
Oh, thank you very much.
And my question was, do you think you'll be exploring, some of the more political issues as far as, the laws and things of that with marijuana and so on and so forth?
Well, we are political. We do definitely tip the sacred cows. But in terms of marijuana, we don't necessarily have an agenda. We don't have a political agenda concerning the drug. We work really hard to be neutral. We want to present it as something that just is. And this is how our characters are dealing with it and responding to it. We don't want to say, it's the gateway to hard drugs, and we don't want to say it's the savior of mankind. It's a tool. And I think for us to be effective in our storytelling, we have to stay neutral.
Some of the characters, as they experience the drug, they seem to have a good time. On the other hand, they also seem to get pretty stupid.
Yeah, everyone responds differently. And, for some people, it's a wonderful medication. For other people, it's recreation. And for other people, it's escape and damaging. I think it's a case-by-case thing. And I'm certainly not prepared to climb onto a soapbox and take a stand. Although, personally, I think it should be legalized and regulated and taxed and but that would be the end of the show.
Yeah, you'd be out of work. So.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the call, Steve.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let me get, this is Natalie. Natalie's with us from Davis, California. Get her on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm a recent joiner to the Weeds fan group. Totally love the show. I wanted to talk and find out more about the opening song, Little Boxes, mm-hmm. and how you picked that, and do you have a bunch of musicians lining up wanting to do it now?
The first season, it was the original song by Malvina Reynolds, and then a group of different artists have played it since.
That's right. When I set out to write the pilot, the first words I actually wrote were the words to Malvina's song. I'd been listening to a lot. It had been on a mix I'd made for my kids, and I just really liked the song for so many reasons. And when we first proposed Little Boxes as our theme song, we weren't sure we were going to be able to afford it. So we got some covers of it, and then Malvina came through, but we had all these cover versions, and one of our producers, Mark Burley, said, you know, some of these are really good, maybe we should try to get more. And after that, it just took off. We had a lot of blind submissions, we made some requests, and we can't pay a lot for the covers, but people are doing it as sort of a labor of love, and it's been very, very exciting because we're all music heads over at Weeds. So when we land some
choice.
Of the big
names. Who were last night's performers? It sounded like maybe a children's, African children's choir?
Oh, no, that was a woman named Angelique Kidjo.
Oh.
And I don't know where, she might have just submitted it. I don't know if we pursued her, but when her version came in, we just loved it.
Yeah.
And I bumped into someone who goes to the gym with her in Brooklyn, and so she's a really lovely person. I've never met her, but I thought her version of Little Boxes was stunning. I like ticky-tacky, hum. Can't really sing. But,
well, it's a great way to start the week. We actually laugh out loud on a Monday night, so thanks a bunch.
Natalie, thanks very much for the call. We're talking with Jenji Kohan, creator and executive producer of the Showtime series Weeds, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get Allie on the line. Allie's with us from Michigan.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question for Jenji.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I love the show, but I actually just graduated from film school recently, and, you know, I, too, have a TV pilot that I, you know, believe in very strongly and want to get off the ground. You know, you said Showtime was a pretty easy sell. How did you get that meeting? Like, how did you take it from an idea to writing it to now having, you know, your own show on Showtime?
I'm not sure she wants to tell the competition, but go ahead.
I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those stories where I'm an overnight sensation after 17 years of laboring in the mines of television. You know, I started writing for TV right out of college. My first job was The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And yeah. And, you know, every year I would write a few pilots and I'd work on shows. And, you know, I put in my time and I just kept writing. I think Weeds was my 15th pilot. And,
wow.
You know, having worked for so long, I kind of know everyone. I have a reputation in town. I keep working, and so I can get those meetings. But, it took a long time to build a career. It's very rare that you just come in with something and they put you in charge of a show.
Well, in your case, it's also, isn't this a family business?
Well, to a certain extent, we certainly were encouraged to enter the business, but my brother, one of my brothers created Will and Grace with a partner.
Mm-hmm. And your dad's a writer.
And my dad was the king of variety and specials for many, many years and still keeps his hand in.
Thanks very much for the call, Allie.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And good luck to you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. You wrote for Gilmore Girls just before this, and we're not the only ones to notice that those two universes seem to be at polar opposites.
Well, truthfully, I worked on Gilmore Girls in the beginning of the show, but that was Amy's baby, Amy Sherman-Palladino. You know, her room was there to help, but especially first season, that was her brainchild, and I like to think I helped break stories and stuff, but I can't take much credit for Gilmore Girls or say that I had a great influence on the show. Hmm. It was another job that I enjoyed and then moved on.
the show is half an hour. I guess there have been other shows on primetime cable outlets that are half an hour, Sex and the City you think of. But why was the decision made to make it a half hour show?
Showtime was in the market for a comedy, quote unquote, and the perception is that comedy is a half hour. And while I think we're a mix of comedy and drama, or comedrama, as one of our producers calls it, they wanted a half-hour show. At first, I had asked for an hour, and they said no. In the end, I'm actually glad it's a half-hour. I think there's a certain economy that we're forced to stick with, and the storytelling is minimal and brisk, and it's kind of exciting to get as much as we can into those 30 minutes.
It's a dense program.
Yes, it's very, very dense.
And this is a program, it's hard to imagine it airing in any version on basic cable.
Yeah, there was some discussion of doing alternate versions for things, but I think it would be too overwhelming for us to replace everything that might be construed as inappropriate for mainstream. Although you have networks like Comedy Central and FX that are taking more and more risks. On the other hand, they still have advertisers to answer to, and that's a slippery slope.
Congratulations. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Jenji Kohan, creator and executive producer of Weeds. She joined us from the studios of Marketplace Productions in Los Angeles. Weeds airs on Monday nights on Showtime. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university where they were put in boxes and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.